Have you ever, I'm sure the answer to the question is yes. You've gotten on your phone and you're trying to get some business taken care of. And you go through this extensive sort of phone tree line, you know. Everything is automated. You call Amtrak and you talk to Julie. Julie's got a really nice voice. I've talked to Julie many times. She oftentimes says, "Is that correct? Is what I think you said actually what you said?" Yes, Julie. Eventually, I get someone who's real, and at that point, I rejoice. But I begin to wonder if there's anybody out there who's really going to help me to get what I want. And sometimes it is extremely frustrating. Well, I had one of those days this week where I was going from morning till evening and finished my last visit. And I had all these loose ends in my mind that I needed to take care of as far as planning for church events, etc. And I called up Linda Hall and I said, "Linda, you know, this has to go out on the information line and I've got all these other matters. I don't know if you can help me with any of these." And she said, "Well, just tell me what they are." And I started listing and rattling off things. And she said, "Is that all?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I've got it all. Don't worry about it. It's taken care of." And I said, "Linda, I love you." Someone with a gift of helps who is there and who gladly, with a smile on her face, says, "I'll take care of it. Don't worry at all." You know someone like that? There's several people that I could name, I could rattle off right now with this congregation. The gift of helps and service is like the oil that keeps the machine moving. When the oil is not there, you notice the noise and the friction and the machine heats up and eventually it shuts down because you cannot run a church fellowship without the gift of helps. And I think that's why God has blessed the church in general with an abundance of people possessing this gift. The problem is that you don't always hear or see them because they work behind the scenes mostly in ways that are extremely important but are hidden. I would like to bring to your attention five people, if I have time this morning, from the New Testament who have the gift of helps and service, and just highlight some of the virtues and ways in which they demonstrated those gifts. So I'd like to take you on a little tour, beginning in Acts chapter 9, if you would please turn there. And let's look at a lady whose name is Dorcas, or Tabitha. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 and verse 39. Name actually means gazelle. Listen to this as I read. "Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did." Verse 39. "And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him weeping, showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them." So here's this woman in Joppa who was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, and she died. And they came and got Peter and they said, "Come with us. We have a situation here. This one we love has died. Can you do something about it?" Peter was doing all sorts of miracles at the time. And so he follows them. She is described as a certain disciple, a woman who is a follower devoted to Jesus Christ, who himself said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Dorcas practiced that. The Message reads, another translation or loose translation reads, she was known for doing good and helping out. Dorcas was one who wasn't sitting around waiting to see what could be done. She could anticipate an event and get on the front end of it. She was proactive. She knew what it would take to make someone else succeed, and she would jump into action and take care of all the details. She didn't have to be asked to participate or to help out. It was what she did best. And so, she was interested in helping. She was abounding in kindness and charity. Didn't keep track of how much she had given and how much she had received. There was no ledger in her mind. It was just continually giving to others with a smile on her face. One example of Dorcas's gift of service were the tunics and the garments that she had made for other people. So these women come to her funeral wearing and carrying these garments and tunics to show off what Dorcas had done and as a token of how much she meant to them because of these expressions of her love, the hours of sacrifice they represented. And, of course, these things had endeared them to Dorcas to the point where her passing brought great grief. Tunics and garments were what she did best. I'm sure that if she wasn't good with a needle and thread, she would have found some other way to show her gift of love, her gift of helps and service. It doesn't matter if you make garments or tunics necessarily, but it's this idea of seeing what needs to be done, asking yourself, what is it that I can do and do best to meet needs, and then jumping in and being a part of the solution. Do you anticipate the needs of others? Do you enjoy kind of sowing seeds of kindness continually? Perhaps if you do, you have the gift of helps and kindness. In our Tuesday night Bible study, friend Greg showed up a little bit late and full of life. He went around and started hugging people. Started with Bryce and Phyllis, and then he sat down. And he immediately participated in our conversation. Good time of discussion. And he shared with us at one point, because we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit and love, just how the love of God had been expressed to him, particularly through Bryce and Phyllis, at a time in life when he needed to have that love shown. They were there for him in very practical ways, providing rides and on, different items. And he looked across the table and said, I love you guys, with sincerity in his eyes. And you know, as a result, he has become a very faithful follower of Christ because of the love shown him by Christians. People who said, I will help you, whatever it takes. I knew nothing of this at the time because they didn't tell us. It was behind the scenes. But the effects have been amazing. I'd like us now to look at Barnabas. Barnabas is found in several different chapters, but Barnabas is seen, first of all, in Acts chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, look at Acts 4, 36 and 37. We read, and Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas considered the needs of other believers. He looked at his own resources and how he personally could contribute to alleviating those needs. And he did the difficult thing. He sold his own land, took the proceeds from the sale, and just brought it to the apostles and put it at their feet. This was not necessarily an uncommon practice in the early church. For we read back in Acts chapter 2, listen to these words, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need." So this was a practice. They cared for one another. The liquidating of their assets was not compulsory. It was not something the apostles required from anyone, but it was rather a response to the grace of God and the new identity that they possess now as being part of the family of God, that there is this sense of connectedness between us and responsibility that goes far beyond blood relation. We have been brought into the family of God, and we are related by blood, by the blood of Christ. And that makes us strong family members with one another. Barnabas is one example of a person in Scripture who gave like this. Now, in Acts chapter 5, you might recall Ananias and Sapphira. They, too, sold some land and held back and tried to project that they had made this great contribution when, in fact, they were just trying to look good, and God punished them for their wrong motivation and for their lie. But Barnabas was a very generous and sacrificial person. He gave freely when others might have criticized him and said, "You know, you might need that tract of land or the proceeds for a rainy day. I suggest that you put that in an investment for your retirement." With him, now that he was a believer, he knew that God was going to take care of his retirement. God was going to take care of his future. And that his call was to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added to him. That was a promise that Jesus gave, and he believed it. He didn't look back. His gift of helps expressed itself in generosity. Now, the next time we see Barnabas, he's helping someone that no one else will even touch with a 10-foot pole. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, we read that Barnabas took hold of him, who was Paul, or Saul at the time, and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. So, here is Barnabas taking hold of Saul, who is the most feared persecutor of the church, the one who would travel from town to town hunting down influential Christians and hauling them off to prison. And based on Paul's testimony of this Damascus Road experience where he sees and hears Jesus, this bright light and Jesus speaking to him, he believes Paul. Because he believes in the transforming power of the gospel. And he puts his confidence in that faith and trust. Barnabas is a gutsy guy. Courageous. Someone who believes in the transforming power of the gospel. So this time, helps or service shows itself through taking in a person who no one else would even dare to trust, and helping him getting started in the faith and in the church by introducing him to the other apostles and vouching for his character. Greg also shared with us about a guy he knows in New Jersey who would camp out in the woods, a homeless person, burrowing down into a hole in the ground and covering it up so that others couldn't see. He lived in this hole. Greg first met him somewhere else and said that when he walked by him, his gag reflex would just automatically be triggered because of the smell of this man. Greg found him in the woods, and as a result of this discovery, invited him to come and stay with him in his house, provided him with a bath and a room, and welcomed him into his family. Oh my. Takes courage and guts. Takes love. And now he says, of this guy, he's one of my best friends. Oh yeah, he has some problems, some issues that he needs to deal with. But because of the love he showed, when no one else would dare touch him, he has helped transform another person's life. Gift of helps and service. In Acts chapter 11, we see Barnabas' gifts of helps and service demonstrated through his relationship with his nephew Mark. Barnabas served God by taking his nephew along on the missionary journey. Imagine that. The travel was difficult. Mark was young. And what do you think Uncle Barney was doing most of the time? He's probably carrying Mark or looking after Mark's needs, trying to make Mark successful in this missionary journey. The going was rough. It was not easy, especially following the Apostle Paul. Barnabas was there. And Barnabas lived out his gift of service by discipling his nephew. Even later, when Paul would not take him again because Mark turned around and left midway, Barnabas was willing to separate from Paul just so that he could take his nephew on another trip alone. And eventually Mark became very useful even to the Apostle Paul, to the extent that Paul requests that he come and work for him. Barnabas' gift of helps was exercised through discipleship, by taking along his nephew and helping him with all the tedious, mundane things that need to be done to make someone succeed. Do you have the gift of service? The next person I'd like us to look at is a man named Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1:16. Second Timothy 1:16 reads, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out and very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day, day of judgment." And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. And when Paul was in Ephesus, Onesiphorus sought him out zealously until he found him. He was committed to ministering to the minister because he knew that Paul had needs too. He was not the kind of guy who was out of sight, out of mind, consumed with his own interests, but looking for Paul's needs and putting them first. He was a loyal and faithful friend. He traveled a long way to seek out Paul and to provide for him what he needed. The object of Onesiphorus' gift was a person. It was Paul himself. And he exercised his gift by showing love to a person. Your elders here at Lake Point, I'm sorry, that's my church I grew up in, Lake Point. Can you imagine that? Your elders here at Community Bible Church labor long and hard in service and sometimes get weary and discouraged in the responsibilities of the family of God. It requires a lot to be concerned with and occupied with the direction of a fellowship like this, and in particular with the needs of a host of families. And they need your encouragement. Bryce and Bob and myself and There's about five others who are working with us in carrying on the responsibilities of this fellowship. We need your encouragement. When we first came, there was a couple, you know them, Rick and Sue, who would often have us over their house. Many of you did, and I appreciate everything you did, but it was almost every week they would come over, they would invite us over. And in their presence and Sue's cooking, we just let our hair down. We could relax. We could be refreshed and energized and carry on. That's so needed. You can minister and use your gift of helps by thinking about those in leadership and how you can help them, the elders, the deaconesses, and the deacons, those who labor hard among you, and think, how can I minister to them? You all know Wycliffe Bible Translation, do you not? For those of you who might not, it's an organization that's committed to translating the scriptures in other languages. And they'll go into a people group that does not have the scriptures in their own language, and they'll spend a number of years there trying to learn the culture and all the idioms of the language and then translate the Bible into their language so they understand. Along with Wycliffe are a host or a team of other people called support. They include doctors, engineers, aviators, maintenance people of all kinds, people who in our culture right here in America would be elevated to the status of, you know, professional. There they labor to support the work of the word, of the ministry, so that the scriptures can be translated into the language of the people so they can be taught about the Savior. That's the key to missionary service. They cannot do it without the help of this team. Nor can the elders and the teachers do their job without the oil, the gift of helps that keeps things running smoothly. And as you minister to one another and to the leaders, you actually promote the gospel and the word of God. I'd like you to think now of another. Her name is Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Paul writes, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Phoebe gained great respect in the eyes of the Apostle Paul for her track record of service, that she had been one who had given herself to assist others in a host of ways. And Paul says, whatever Phoebe needs, give to Phoebe to get this work done and to provide for her needs as well. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word for helper used to describe Phoebe is that of protectress, patroness, or helper. So Phoebe took it upon herself to take care of others within the church. I mean, Phoebe's attitude was, you need anything, come to Phoebe. I'm going to take care of you, you know. And she found a way. If she didn't have the resource, she connected people with those who could provide for them. Paul had such esteem for her that he made it clear to the church that if she has a need, you take care of her because she is worthy of grace and help. People are the most valuable assets on earth. God invests in people, not in programs, not in buildings, but in people. And the church is comprised of people. And so our focus and priority must be on the family of God and in individuals. Sometimes we neglect those helpers because, like I said in the beginning, we don't often see what you do. We just know when things don't get done, we complain, right? What happened? Why wasn't the carpet swept this week? Well, you don't know that Friday, Ms. Acosta was here sweeping the rug. But sometimes things don't get done, and then we notice it. But to just take care of the family of God requires a lot of effort. There are right now three people in need of meals within our congregation. You might be getting a phone call or have an opportunity to volunteer to provide a meal for someone who's in need because they're recovering from having a baby, from an accident, whatever it might be. Care for them. Use the gift of helps. We need one another. Finally, I'd like us to look at Epaphroditus in Philippians 4:18. Paul is in a Roman prison, and he writes, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Epaphroditus represented the church of Philippi. He was a delivery boy, a messenger sent from the church to take care of Paul's concerns, Paul's needs. He went to Rome and he brought with him a care package. We've had care packages in the past, haven't we? For soldiers and for people who have moved away from us that we know are probably lonely and missing the family here. We've sent care packages. And you all have organized those things. It wasn't something the elders said, we need to do this. It came from within. People saw a need and said, we need to show an expression of love. And indeed, this care package sent to Paul in Rome was an expression of love. It wasn't just a bunch of trinkets that, you know, were nice thoughts, but weren't really needed. He probably brought parchments for Paul to write on, books for Paul to read, clothes to keep Paul warm, food to help supplement the scanty diet that the Romans provided. You know, all these things were necessary. And because of this, Paul was able to write the prison epistles. There's five books in the Bible. Imagine, though, if they hadn't, where would those letters be? The oil that runs the machine. The little things, the gifts of help and service, promote the gospel. In addition to that, Paul preached to the household of Caesar and the whole praetorium guard right there in Rome because he himself had his needs taken care of, amply supplied through people like the Philippians and Epaphroditus. In summary, I'd like us to consider what kind of things do people with the gift of helps do? They may vacuum the floor. They may iron clothes, prepare food, clean up, paint, fix, clean, give, show hospitality, provide clothes. They do whatever needs to be done because that's what they do best. And they do it with a smile on their face and a cheerful heart. Sometimes the projects are clearly defined tasks that have a beginning and an end. And sometimes they're just people that they invest in. And they don't know exactly what they're getting into or what the commitment will be, but they do it anyway out of their love for Christ. What are their virtues? They're hard workers. They're sometimes skilled and attentive to details. Sometimes they're multitaskers that do the general big things without a lot of attention to details. They're sacrificial. They're resourceful. They're generous. They're doers of the word. They put love into action. Well, what are the dangers that givers and helpers are subjected to. They may be discouraged, good starters, but then run into some complications and lack follow-through and faithfulness. They may become very lonely because nobody actually sees what's going on, and they wonder sometimes, am I all alone in this? Especially when other people don't show up to a work beat or some sort of project that was agreed upon. But they're there every time. They can become lonely and begin to have self-pity. Woe is me. Maybe I shouldn't be so committed. They sometimes desire just for a little bit of attention and notice. They must realize again that it's the Lord who notices every deed, and He will repay them. They can become critical of others and wonder why other people don't jump in and help like they do. Can't they see what needs to be done? Where is everyone else? And yet the people with the gifts of help and service are the ones who are particularly attuned to those needs. And those without sometimes seem like they're in another world. They may be pondering something completely different. If you have the gift of helps, be thankful for it and use what God has given you. And people who have this gift can run into the danger of having a difficult time getting along with each other, because our ministries all intertwine and overlap with each other, and we're dependent upon each other. We're interdependent. And as we get close to one another in service, sometimes we let down our guard and we get very comfortable with each other, and then we find that we do things differently and we rub each other the wrong way, and it comes out in tension between us. Paul addresses this with these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, in Philippians 4, or Ephesians 4, 2. He says, it's in Philippians 4. But what he says to them is what he says to all of us. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Focus on, as you're serving with one another, there is one body and one faith, just as also you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. Focus on what we have in common, what our mission is, what we're all about, and let that motivate you to get along with each other as you demonstrate your gift of service and helps. Who knows? Maybe you have the gift of helps and service. If you see things that need to be done, don't wait. Jump in there and do it. And if you have any questions, ask the deaconesses or the deacons, what can I do? This is what my burden is, or I can do this. Can you use me? There are a myriad of things and ways that you can serve God's people here and the cause of Christ. We have a mission. Our mission is to proclaim Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're not part of the family of God, the place to begin is a relationship with Jesus. To know the life that He can give you and the confidence that when you die, you have eternal life with Christ. That's the greatest reality in the whole world, the promise that Christ gives, that if we believe in Him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you made that commitment to Christ? If you have, you're part of this family. And we welcome you and we want to serve along with you. If you're not there yet, I want to challenge you to make that personal commitment to Christ, to surrender your life to Him so that you can have the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you will not stand before a judge one day who will condemn you to a Christless eternity, who will give you eternal life as His promise to those who believe. I want to challenge you to make that initial commitment to Jesus Christ. And then we welcome you into the family, and we want to serve along with you. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, "Be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Use the gifts that God has given you. If it's the gift of service and helps, to minister to others for the cause of Christ." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love, for how much we have been given. We pray that you might help us to return that love to you by caring for those you have put into our lives, into the fellowship of God, and to those who don't know you. We pray that you would help us to extend that cup of cold water as servants of the Most High God with a smile on our face and a cheerful countenance. We pray that you would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.